Nabu is proud to co-sponsor the Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run, Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. Friends of Jordan is an organization that provides support for families as they go through the trials of serious childhood illness. This fun run and walk will raise funds for Adult in Reno, a 22-month-old from Salem. Again, that's the Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run on Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. at Forest Grove High School, 1401 Nichols Lane in Forest Grove. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the home page under Community Events.
What does it mean to be called crazy in a crazy world? Listen to Madness Radio, Voices and Visions from Outside Mental Health, sponsored by peer-run support communities Freedom Center, The Icarus Project, and Portland Hearing Voices. Madness Radio can be heard on FM stations on the Pacifica Radio Network and is online at kboo.fm/madnessradio. Welcome to Madness Radio. This is your host, Will Hall. Today, my guest is Dina Tyler. Dina is the survivor of a diagnosis of bipolar and psychosis. She's the co-founder of the Bay Area Hearing Voices Network, the co-director of the Bay Area Mandala Project, and she's the coordinator of peer and family support services at an early psychosis intervention agency in Alameda, California. So welcome to Madness Radio, Dina Tyler.
Thank you, Will. It's great to be here.
So, Dina, you have a remarkable story. You went from yourself going through extreme states and getting a diagnosis of bipolar and psychosis and really struggling for a long time with isolation and going into other worlds. And then you were able to move through that and go through a recovery process. And now you are working in the system, helping people, reaching people who are going through their own psychotic experiences. And we're going to be talking about that and also talking about your innovative work in the San Francisco Bay Area, starting the Hearing Voices Network, and also gathering together an incredible group of people to develop a whole alternative treatment system proposal called the Mandala Project, which is starting to get a lot of interest and support in the Bay Area. So we're going to be talking about that as well. But maybe we could just begin by, can you tell us something about your own experiences with altered states? How did you first start to go through things that might later get called psychosis and that later got you involved in the mental health system?
When I was a senior, I started to take my SATs, but I scored really low. And so the teachers were really concerned with, well, what happened? And I was like, well, everybody was, you know, sniffling, shuffling around in their chairs, tapping their pens. And so I couldn't pay attention. I could not get through the sections and be able to read. So then they decided to have me tested and they found that I had attention deficit disorder. So then I got a prescription for Ritalin. In college, the first year was fine. I mean, I was taking my prescription for Ritalin and it really, really helped me to focus. I also started to not eat as much because when I was taking the Ritalin, if I ate something, it would not work as well. It would start to make my brain foggy. And so I started to not eat as much. And then they would keep upping the dosage because it would wear off. And so then I got switched over to Adderall sustained release. And then it started to make it so that I was not sleeping as well, too. And I would slip into these long periods where I would just stare at a wall and not know how much time had passed, really kind of catatonic states where eventually towards the end, it became where I was no longer able to hardly get out what I wanted to say. So I would be trying to write a paper and every third word, I couldn't think of what that word was. I was spending so much time in the thesaurus trying to remember simple words that I should really know. I would lose the feeling of needing to eat. I didn't know when I needed to go to the bathroom. I really was very, very disconnected from my body. And I started to develop guttate psoriasis. So there was these little tiny dots starting to develop all over my body. And I was just like, what is this? You know, really being in this state of feeling like I don't exist, but then actually able to notice my body and seeing there's something happening to my body. And what is this? I don't understand. I was not the picture of wellness at the time. I mean, I was eating one king-size Nutrageous candy bar a day and a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew. And I was smoking a ton of cigarettes and smoking a lot of weed. And also one thing I had happened is I had gotten a little kitten. So this kitten was keeping me up at night for a couple of nights. You know, she was playing with things in the corner. So then like on the third night, it started to feel like I no longer need sleep. You know, I have all this energy. And so on the fifth night, I decided, okay, I need to be at work tomorrow. I'm going to take one of my Adderall pills, stay up all night, and clean the kitchen. And then I'll be early to work the next day. So this was my plan. So I'm in there all night cleaning the kitchen after 5 nights of no sleep with a toothbrush, like cleaning the floor of the kitchen, just having all these thoughts about like the world and how to solve war and famine and, you know, just planning out my entire life and how to be happy. And so the next day, and that morning, I'd been up all night. The next morning, I'm taking a shower and start like having these thoughts about, okay, well, what does my cat need to be happy? Okay, she needs food, water, shelter. She needs love. She needs something to play with in the corner, you know? And then I started relating it to human beings and especially myself. Well, what do I need to be happy? I need the same things. I need food, water, shelter. I need love. I need belonging, social belonging. I need to have a sense of purpose, like something to do, whether it's work or volunteer. And then I was like, oh my gosh, we also need self-esteem. And that was kind of like my light bulb moment because I had been really insecure at the time. You know, this was like, okay, if all human beings just focus on meeting these basic human needs, then we can become the supreme human being that we're meant to be. And that was like, oh my gosh, I just figured out the meaning of life. And so I got out of the shower and I started calling everyone I knew, everybody at the record store, my mom, calling my sister, even my roommate sister who called the house line, who I'd never met. I was telling her, I figured out the meaning of life. You just need to listen to me. I figured out the meaning of life. And so I was telling everybody to call me back at 4:20 to remind me to leave for work, telling everybody, call me back at 4:20. And I remember just like having all these ideas like, oh my gosh, I'm going to become president of the United States. I've just figured out everything and how to help everyone in the world. And I'm just sitting there thinking about all these things and looking at the clock to hit 4:20 so that everybody calls me back to remind me to leave for work. And mind you, in that state, I'm still in my towel from the shower in the morning. Like my hair is still wrapped up in the turban of the other towel and no state to leave for work at 4:20, but I'm just staring at the clock. Then I'm seeing it go from 4:19, boom, to 4:20. And the phone is silent. No one calls. And all of a sudden, I just have this huge crushing feeling like, oh my God, no one believes me. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. And that pain, that sadness was just like, how could they not believe me? I figured out the meaning of life. How could they not want to know? And I don't know how much time had passed after that, but all of a sudden I started to notice, I looked outside the window and I saw my mom. I saw a girl that had worked at the record store and I saw my roommate all talking. I'm like, oh, they've never met. This is strange. Why are they all talking? And then my mom came in and she's like, you know, what's going on? I'm like, I haven't been able to sleep for 5 days. She's just like, well, how about I take you back to the hospital? You know, it will be a nice, safe place for you to sleep. I was like, okay, you know, I just need to sleep. So we went to the hospital. So right before that 5 days of being up straight, I had been on Effexor. And I had decided to come off of my Effexor cold turkey. So it was about 2 weeks prior to being up. That's something that I think contributed to all of this is the withdrawing from the Effexor. But when I went into the hospital and I was mentioning to them, okay, well, I just came off of the Effexor and, you know, I've been on the Adderall. They didn't seem to think any of this, you know, had anything to do with it. They were like, oh, it just uncovered an underlying bipolar condition that you already had. Anyways, I didn't want the medications. And I remember telling them that I wanted to just write in my journal. And they wouldn't give me my journal. They said, not until you take your meds. We won't give you your journal. Finally, I just wanted to write in my journal. So I was like, okay, I'll take the meds. They gave me my journal. This was like my prized possession that I had. I put a little Edward Gorey sticker on it. And I loved this journal. And when they handed it to me, they broke the spine. I was like, just how could you do this to my journal? I was like, this is my journal. I finally decided to start writing in my journal. And you can kind of see when the meds kick in. It's just like all of a sudden it just stopped. I stopped writing. And then I don't write in my journal the entire rest of the time in the hospital.
If you're just tuning in, this is Madness Radio. My guest today is Dina Tyler. She's the survivor of a diagnosis of bipolar and psychosis. She's also the coordinator of peer and family support services at an early psychosis intervention organization in Alameda, California. She's the co-founder of the Bay Area Hearing Voices Network and co-director of the Bay Area Mandala Project.
And you're listening to Madness Radio on the mighty 90.7 KBOO, possibly the oldest freestanding independent community radio station in the nation, and certainly worthy of a little of your support out there in radio land. Won't you call right now, start a modest, sustaining contribution, and introduce yourself toll-free, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. That's what Chris from Jefferson did. Thank you so much. And Heidi from Wilsonville is a new member. Thank you so, so much. It is great to hear. And you're paving the way right here, giving a little teaching tale to all the people who are listening who haven't yet made that call, but who are now moving to the phone right now to call 877-500-5266.
You know, I've just been listening to this program with Justin and sharing stories about friends who have gone through some of these same experiences of dealing with antidepressants and their impact on people's lives. And this is a program that is really unique. Will Hall brings it to you, and he is a leader in the field of the alternative mental health treatment world. And it's really amazing that he started out here on KBOO. This program is now podcast. It's a national syndicated program. It's well known around the country and the world. Madness Radio is a well-respected program that got its legs right here at KBOO Community Radio. And we have a lot of programs like that. If you hear the DIY program on OPB, Julie Sabatier started that here at KBOO. Many of the people that you hear on OPB actually got trained here at KBOO as well. This is a training hub for people that then move into careers in journalism. And we provide what is really some of the last real journalism left now that print publications are being thrust to the wind left and right. We're losing them. And KBOO investigative reporters are on the scene doing this type of deep analysis of these important issues. 877-500-5266 to support KBOO, support yourself, really.
And think about how this program right now, Madness Radio, is the exact and quintessential opposite from what you hear on mainstream media. On mainstream media, there is a little bit of punctuated programming in between ads for chemicals that you're supposed to be taking to neutralize your mood. Whereas here, we're bringing you programming about helping people to recover from the diagnosis. I don't see how we could be any more different. And again, we know you give for your reasons, not for ours, but that's a darn good reason right there. You can see we're in diametric opposition to this notion that programming is meant to deliver you, dear listeners, into the hands of giant corporations who have one thing in mind, and that's their bottom line. Right here, what we have is one thing in mind, and that is empowering, educating, and enlightening our listenership. Call right now. It's worth your support. Toll free, 877-500-KBOO.
I was lucky. I was actually very fortunate. My father decided to send me to what I refer to as a therapy camp. It was like a 2-week stay where they had these therapists. You would do very intensive therapy. I decided to use it as an opportunity to come off all my meds. I was away from my family. I was away from my doctor. So I was like, I'm going to do it. The agreement was, if anything medically happens where I need to go back to the hospital, they will make me go back to the hospital. So I was like, okay. So I didn't quite take advantage of all the like therapy that they were offering because I was going through a lot of physical withdrawals, very nauseated, very shaky, and then just having these kind of experiences where I was not quite in my body, not quite in this reality. I remember going up to a cow and being like, oh my God, this creature exists. But I got through it. And then when I went back home, I went to see my psychiatrist and she's like, okay, you're off. I'm not going to put you back on, but I want to see you every single week and just make sure you're doing okay. And at this point, I was so determined never to go back to the hospital. I was going to fight with everything in me to not have to go back to the hospital. So I didn't talk a lot about what I would experience. I suppressed it and I just acted okay. Like, I'm going to just do everything so that I don't have to go back. And I just really learned I needed to take little tiny baby steps to gain back the trust of my family and those around me to let them know I'm okay, you know. I was really afraid of adding too much stress into my life that would cause me to have a break so then I'd go back. So I didn't do much during this whole period. I just kind of stayed at the house. I got a retail job, just not that much stress. I graduated UC Berkeley in 2009 and then searching for about 9 months for a job and got super depressed during this time and actually tried to commit suicide again during this time. But then I found an ad on Craigslist and it was for a young adult outreach specialist. And at the very bottom of it said, person with lived experience preferred of the mental health system. And I was like, this could be a job qualification. All this history and all this stuff I've been through could actually, you know, make me more experienced and get me a job. It was great. I was like, yes, I totally want to apply. So I got the job and I've been there for over 4 years. So one of the young girls that I've worked with, she has been receiving messages from God telling her to remove her eye or stab her eye. And she had discharged from the program. She didn't want to have anything to do with the program. So what I do is I take a different approach. She was in the hospital, and what I would do is I'd go visit her in the hospital every single evening for about 2 weeks. She had actually chosen, she wanted to be homeless in a very dangerous area, and she was choosing not to eat. She did not want any help. Like, even we were trying to give her a care package, she did not want anything. So then she ended up getting locked up.
Why was it that she was resistant to getting any kind of contact from people?
Well, I think that she was resistant to the whole mental health and diagnosis. She didn't believe what she was experiencing was, you know, mental health in any way. She was relating this more as this is what God is telling her. She had actually read some passages out of the Bible that had said, if your left eye is evil, then take it out so that you can then enter heaven. So this is what she was thinking, is that she has this evil part of her body that God will not allow her into heaven unless she removes it. So when I came in to work with her, the first couple times she sent me away. She knew that I was from the PrEP program. She didn't want to have anything to do with the program. First day that she allowed me to meet with her, I just said, can we just pray for 5 minutes, you know? And so she allowed me to just pray with her. And then I left, you know, and then I came back the next day and it started to build, you know. She'd allow me to be with her a little bit longer. And then, you know, I started to just say, can I share my story with you? And she would say, you know, you're very intense. And I said, well, I get that sometimes, you know, because of my dark hair, my makeup. Is there anything I can do to make me soften my appearance or make me less intense? And she said, yes, you can wash off all your makeup and you can come back in a really girly, frilly dress. And I was like, okay, tomorrow. So I came back the next day in the like pinkest, frilliest dress that I had, and the cutest, girliest shoes, and I would show up to the hospital and I'd wash my face. And we just started having a discussion around this, you know, because I never go anywhere without my makeup. I was telling her she's actually helping me to face some of my fears and insecurities around being in public. So with this peer support, it's kind of like a mutual relationship that we have. Like, it's not just me one-sided saying, I'm here to help you. She's also helping me in some ways, you know, and just calling out that this is a relationship, that we are two human beings that can interact together and affect each other. So what was happening is in the hospital, they were medicating her very, very heavily. And one night, all we did was she was really, really hunched over and just had drool coming out of her mouth and just a constant stream of drool. And she was just shaking so uncontrollably. And so just one night, I just was with a box of Kleenex and, you know, just cleaning her and capturing the drool that was coming off of her. She just was like, help. You know, that's all she could get out, was just like, can you help me? I went and I advocated with the hospital staff, like, I think she's too heavily medicated, you know. And then, you know, eventually they decided to bring her off of some of that medication and change her medications. And then it was like a miraculous turnaround. She started doing better. And then she ended up getting out of the hospital. And I've just been working with her ever since on what she wants to do in life. But she has not been, you know, talking about harming herself, you know, since getting out. And so it was in the hospital, how are they going to deal with it is just medicating her so that she cannot actually physically raise her hand to her eye. Or is there a way that we can work with her about creating a life that she wants to live so that she's not, you know, thinking about wanting to harm her eye or not thinking that something is so evil within her, that she has all this, these strengths and this positivity within her, and she has a purpose here in life. So that's kind of the approach that I take.
If you're just tuning in, this is Madness Radio. My guest today is Dina Tyler. She's the survivor of a diagnosis of bipolar and psychosis. She's also the coordinator of peer and family support services at an early psychosis intervention organization in Alameda, California. She's the co-founder of the Bay Area Hearing Voices Network and co-director of the Bay Area Mandala Project.
And you are listening to Madness Radio on the mighty 90.7, your community radio, KBOO. You may be listening anywhere on earth at KBOO.fm. You can pledge your monthly contribution there, or perhaps you're a little closer to home and in anywhere in North America. It's a toll-free call, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. My name is Justin. I'm joined by Jenka. It's really a privilege to be able to remind listeners about all the reasons KBOO has earned the right to claim your support. Four of you right now starting that $5 a month contribution would make sure we hit our goal for Madness Radio. That's $60, just $5 a month. And it starts and ends with you just introducing yourself. 877-500-5266.
Yeah, I want to thank Carolyn from North Portland, who did set up a new electronic funds transfer. That's a monthly deduction from the checking account. It makes you feel really good, actually. You know, I have a monthly deduction from my checking account, and look at that and see that listing of all of the bills that are coming out of my checking account. Well, that's one that I can really be proud of. I see that KBOO Foundation, that every single month, $10 a month, which I actually just increased to $20 so I could get one of those hoodies. So I encourage, if we have somebody getting that hoodie this next 7 minutes, that will be, I think, will help us reach our goal. If you want to get a $20 a month contribution to KBOO and get a hoodie, wear it around proudly, your black hoodie supporting KBOO. You know, you're hearing these poignant personal stories of people's struggles with the mental health system. We don't break it up into sound bites. We let people tell their stories in full. This is what KBOO is all about. The peer support, the solidarity that people have for each other. Will Hall, himself a survivor of the mental health system, now a leader in the field and providing this wonderful show that really goes deep into these issues. I know that I appreciate it. If you appreciate it as well, then show your support. Call right now. Support KBOO, whether it's a $5 a month contribution that's good for you, whether it's the $20 low-income membership, $40 basic membership, our average contribution is $90 a year. That's $750 a month. Whatever is doable for you, do it right now. We do have some people that can give $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year. Be a major donor to KBOO if you are able to fit that into your budget. Do it right now. 877-500-5266. Support public affairs programming. In the next 5 minutes, before we go into the noontime jamboree, take these last few minutes to support public affairs on KBOO.
That's right. Everyone is doing their part, and $20 a month may sound like a lot, but it turns out to be 66 cents a day towards the $2,150 every day. So even those what sound like larger amounts become really quite practical when you start thinking about it. 877-500-5266 to do your part. Kate is doing her part by running the board. We've got people answering the phone. Ross, Danny, and Sam Judy has come in to help supervise. They're doing their part, and restaurants are donating food. We want to thank the Corbett Fish House at 5901 Southwest Corbett Avenue. Open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and open Saturday and Sunday at noon, using 100% rice bran oil for their fish and chips. Thank you, Corbett Fish House. Thank you to Little River Cafe, open 7 days a week at 7 a.m. 0315 Southwest Montgomery, serving breakfast, sandwiches, salads, and burgers along the Willamette River. Thank you so much, and thanks to Bar Carlo. Open Wednesday through Monday, 8:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 6433 Southeast Foster, serving breakfast, lunch, happy hour, and dinner. Thank you all for making your donations, and for all the people who have called in. Remember, we're about halfway through our membership drive, and the way this signature service keeps coming at you is because you answer the call by making the call. You're savvy listeners. You're dedicated to helping the world survive, and it is not hyperbolic to say that having real access to real voices bringing you real information is a part of survival. And we're talking about ensuring an entree to the public airwaves. It's only public airwaves if the public has a chance to get on them. And that's what KBOO is about, beginning to end. Won't you call right now? 877-500-5266. Jenka and I can work very hard to remind you of all the great things that KBOO does, but at a certain point, you're going to have to reach deep down and say, you know what? I'm doing it this time. I waited a long time, and now I'm going to do it. I'm going to call up, and I'm going to introduce myself. I might do that online at kboo.fm, or I might call up and cause a ringy-dingy. 877-500-5266.
Do it now. Next 2 minutes to support this public affairs program. 877-500-KBOO. Let's have a rally and reach our goal. 877-500-KBOO.
Dina, tell us about the Mandala Project in the Bay Area, which is about creating a whole new system of responding to people who are in crisis.
What we're trying to do is create a different way of working with people in these experiences. We would have it completely staffed by people with lived experience of extreme states of consciousness. So every entry point into the traditional mental health system, also offering an alternative exit point to our system. So we're going to offer a peer-run respite for people that are wanting to avoid a hospitalization. They notice that something's going on in their lives, that, you know, they're maybe headed into a crisis but really want to avoid the crisis. So they just need a short term to get out of their situation. We also are going to offer a psychosis sanctuary similar to Soteria House. It used to be here in the Bay Area, to work with people that are in their first episode of psychosis and working with them to get them through their experience without medication or a very, very limited amount of medication.
Dina, how do people get in touch with you, and how can they find out more about the San Francisco Bay Area Mandala Project?
So we have a website. It's called the Bay Area Mandala Project.org. I can also be contacted. I started the Bay Area Hearing Voices Network, Bay Area Hearing Voices at gmail.com. And I also work with PrEP Alameda County, and that's askprep.org.
Dina Tyler, thank you for joining us today on Madness Radio.
Thank you, Will.
You've been listening to an interview with Dina Tyler. She's a survivor of a diagnosis of bipolar and psychosis. She's the coordinator of peer and family support services at an early intervention agency for psychosis in Alameda, California. She's also the co-founder of the Bay Area Hearing Voices Network and co-director of the Bay Area Mandala Project. That's all the time we have on Madness Radio. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Madness Radio, Voices and Visions from Outside Mental Health, co-sponsored by the Icarus Project, Portland Hearing Voices, and Freedom Center. Madness Radio is hosted by Will Hall, and producer is Leah Harris. Madness Radio is based at KBOO in Oregon and can be heard on FM stations on the Pacifica Radio Network. Contact us at radio@madnessradio.net.
And it is 12 noon. You do have it tuned to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned now for the noon headlines, and that is followed by the noontime jamboree, of course. Have a great afternoon.
And now for the KBOO News at Noon for Monday, October 6th, 2014. Last week, the Oregon National Guard announced that it would discontinue its job placement program for veterans. National Guard representatives say that they couldn't find a contractor for the program, which costs about $1 million a year to run. Over the last year, the Joint Transition Assistance Program helped place 1,200 guardsmen in jobs. Currently, there are more than 900 Oregon guardsmen deployed overseas, expected to return next year. Oregon is the only state in the U.S. without a job assistance program for its guardsmen. On Thursday, officials from Western States and British Columbia met in Portland to discuss oil train regulations. They worked on plans for reducing damage in the event of an oil train derailment. Much of the oil produced in the U.S. passes through Oregon and Southwest Washington by train to reach the Pacific Ocean. This can prove dangerous. Last year, 47 people died when an oil train derailed in Lac-Mégantic, Quebec. Oregon's Department of Transportation has announced the hiring of more rail inspectors as a safety precaution. Dick Peterson, director of Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality, represented the state at the meeting. This November, voters in